Coming up today, Pastor Ray Bentley wants to talk about the foundation of our lives.
To build your life, not only your earthly life, but your future, your eternal future, you want a firm foundation. You want a rock that will last forever. Everything you hoped and dreamed of to be fulfilled as a son of God or a daughter of God will happen as your feet are planted upon the rock of Jesus Christ.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. We have to be careful about what we build our lives on. Money, success, notoriety, reputation, comfort, enjoyment, they're all temporary. They're fragile foundations. Today, Pastor Ray points out where to find a solid foundation that will hold us strong when everything else crumbles.
Mark 11, verse 27, it says, "Then they came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders came to him, and they said to him, 'By what authority do you do these things? And who gave you this authority to do these things?'" Verse 29, "But Jesus answered and said to them, 'I also will ask you one question, then answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things.'" Here was his question. "The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Why then did you not believe John?' But if we say from men," oh, they feared the people, "for all counted John the Baptist to have been a prophet indeed." So they answered and said to Jesus, "Well, we do not know." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Well, then neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." What a great answer. The word authority, as I mentioned here in your notes, is the Hebrew word smicha. So they asked him, "What smicha do you have to show that you have the authority to do anything in this temple?" And the Hebrew word smicha means authority. It's generally translated into our English Bibles as "by what authority." But the Hebrew word literally means the laying on of hands. Who laid hands on you, Jesus? Whose authority was transferred to you? Hence, it also meant ordination. Who ordained you? Because you certainly did not get ordained by us. And so it means the laying on of hands, ordination, and the grant of authority. And Jesus gives a classic response in Jewish form by asking another question. Now, let me just say that these elders, chief priests, and rabbis that have come up to Jesus are the official guardians of the law in the temple precincts. They are members, some of them, of the Sanhedrin. And I want you to know that they not only had the right to ask Jesus by what authority he was doing what he did, they had a responsibility to investigate anyone who claimed to be sent from God, including Jesus. So they're doing the right thing, and they come to him. But let me add this. These men did not have open minds. In fact, they did not have sincere questions. They were not really seeking the truth, but they were seeking a way to trap Jesus and to get rid of him and to destroy him. So Jesus then turns the thing around. He asks them a question. "Well, what do you say about the authority, the smicha? By what authority did John the Baptist, John the prophet, speak? Was he from God or was he not?" And I think this is very powerful, because what Jesus is basically saying, they're kind of trapped. Now, instead of him being trapped, they are trapped. Because the people all believe that John was a prophet sent from God. And if they agreed And they said, yes, we believe John the Baptist was definitely a prophet sent from God. All Jesus had to say then was, well, then why didn't you believe in him? Because the one you just said was sent from God, pointed to me and said, follow him, and pointed to me as the Messiah. So if they said, well, no, John is not from God, all the people who are standing there listening who thought he was a prophet, oh, there would have been, it would have been dangerous for them in the Temple Mount to say publicly, because they were in a public place, no, John was not sent from God. So they were trapped. So they came back to Jesus and said, well, we can't answer your question. He goes, oh, so now in front of all the people, they won't answer my question. Why should I answer theirs? Everybody, why? So they agreed, and Jesus makes the point. Now, here's something that I want you to notice, though. God had sent John the Baptist, who had taught something powerful in preparation for the Messiah, and they had not accepted it. And we learn this principle. God does not teach us new truth if we have rejected the truth he has already revealed. All right? God had sent John the Baptist, and God had done mighty, powerful things in piercing the people's hearts, bringing them to repentance. And if they had accepted that, then they could have accepted Jesus as the Messiah. But in that they did not accept him, God was basically saying that I'm not going to give you any more truth. If you want to grow, how many of you would like to know more about God, more of his name and character and power and presence and his calling and all the blessings he wants to do in your life? And sometimes we reach a point where we go, why do I feel like I'm stalled? And it's because we have not believed what we've already learned, or we're not obeying what we already understand. Someone said, well put it this way, it's not the things I don't understand in the Bible that bother me, it's the things I do understand, but have not yet applied to my life. So John chapter 7, verse 17 is in your notes. Let's read this scripture out loud together. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak of my own authority. So basically, that's quoting Jesus. Anyone who wills to do the will of God will know concerning the doctrine, if it is from God, and whether Jesus is speaking on the authority of God in heaven. In other words, if we want to grow in more spiritual knowledge, we must obey what we've already learned. Someone has said obedience is the organ of spiritual knowledge. You want to know more? Obey more. The more you obey, the more your eyes will be opened. The more you obey, the more the supernatural would become the natural part of your life. The Jewish leaders had not accepted the teaching of John. So why would God offer them anything new or anything more? It's also important to note these leaders were not asking what is true or what is right. But what they were really wanting to know is what is safe. John the Baptist was not safe because they could not control him. God did not want John the Baptist controlled. In fact, John the Baptist wasn't even there in Jerusalem because all of the priests who were there, by and large, were not leading the people closer to God. They were living lives of compromise. That is always the attitude of the hypocrite and the crowd pleaser. What is the safe way to go? But Jesus refuses to answer their question. Now look with me in chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. It says, and then he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a place for the wine fat, and built a tower, and he leased it to vine dressers and went into a far country. Now, at vintage time, he sent a servant to the vine dressers that he might receive some of the fruit of the vineyard from the vine dressers. And they took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Again, he sent them another servant, and at him they threw stones, wounded him in the head, and sent him away shamefully treated. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. Therefore, still having one son, his beloved, he also sent him to them last, saying, they will respect my son. But those vine dressers said among themselves, this is the heir, come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. So they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. Therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the vine dressers and give the vineyard to others. Have you not even read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And they sought to lay hands on Jesus. They wanted to grab him because they knew he was talking about them. But they feared the multitude, for they knew he had spoken the parable against them. So they left him and went away. They were upset. Jesus starts telling parables. Now this parable of a vineyard, the owner comes. It's my vineyard. I planted it. I hired people to take care of it. And when I came to get fruit, they killed them. They beat them, then they killed them, and I kept sending more, and they beat them, and they killed more. And finally, I sent my son. Hey, I'm the owner's son. This is his vineyard. Could you please give me? And they grabbed him, and they killed him. So this is the story. And Jesus is saying, what do you think the owner of the vineyard will do now when he comes with all of his entourage and he grabs those men who have tried to take his vineyard? They're going to be in big trouble.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. We really enjoy hearing from our listeners. It's a blessing to hear how these broadcasts often reach people at just the right time.
I'm at a place in my life where I need to be grounded. I need help and I need comfort. I've been looking to other people and things to fill all my needs. I never realized all I needed to do was look up and ask God to help. When I heard Pastor Ray, it felt like he was speaking directly to me, and every word he said was dealing with my life. After hearing the message, I asked God into my heart. I asked him to take control of my life and lead me. Thank you, Pastor Ray.
How have these studies impacted your life or your family? Drop Pastor Ray an email at ray@raybentley.com. Again, ray@raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Now turn with me in your Bibles in the Old Testament to Isaiah chapter 5. Because this is where Jesus gets this. Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. It says, now let me sing to my well-beloved a song of my well-beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in its midst and also made a wine press on it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge please between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done it in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? And now please let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, and break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned or dug, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain on it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant plant. He looked for justice, but behold, oppression. He looked for righteousness, but behold, a cry for help. Israel, the nation of Israel, including its spiritual leaders, was God's chosen special vineyard on the earth. And using this story from Isaiah chapter 5, well known among the rabbis, Jesus is making points about that particular generation that the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone of the whole building of God, the Messiah himself. And Jesus is saying that God has come now to this nation, this special vineyard. He's looking for fruit, but instead he finds oppression. He finds that they're making stumbling blocks to God. He finds that there is violence. The hearts of the people are not right. And now God has finally, he sent all of his prophets, some of them beaten, some of them killed. And now Jesus, the son of the owner of the vineyard, has come to Israel and he says, I can't find any good fruit. And exactly what are they know that he's talking of them, and they are plotting within a few days to take Jesus, who is claiming to be the Messiah, the Son, and murder him and have him put to death. And yet he belongs to God. And so it's a very, very sad, sad day that's going on here. So go back with me to Mark chapter 12. The stone. The stone prophetically speaks of the Messiah. The stone is a well-known symbol of the Messiah. And I gave you a lot of scriptures you can look up. Exodus, the prophet Daniel, Zechariah, in the New Testament, the book of Romans, 1 Corinthians. And then also Peter talks about the stone, the rock, the foundation stone. Ah, Jesus. Jesus is that rock. To build your life, not only your earthly life, but your future, your eternal future. You want a firm foundation. You want a rock that will last forever. And that rock is Yeshua, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. He's the rock. He'll never move. It's a firm foundation. You can build your personal life, everything you ever hoped for, everything you ever dreamed of, and being fulfilled as a man or as a woman will happen when your feet are firmly planted on the rock of Jesus Christ. Everything you hoped and dreamed of to be fulfilled as a son of God or a daughter of God will happen as your feet are planted upon the rock of Jesus Christ. He is that rock that will come with unhewn rock from the heavens that strikes the image that Daniel talked about in the book of Daniel. And that rock grew into a large mountain that became the kingdom of God. And so Jesus is telling these guys, look, you, I know what's in your hearts. You want me dead. And they would have grabbed him then. But it says they were afraid of the people. I want you to notice here, because a lot of people think, oh, the Jews rejected Jesus. No, that's not true. Truth is, some of the Jews rejected Jesus. The multitude who were there that day, who believed John and who even believed in Jesus, were Jews. They're all Jews standing there. So some believed, some did not believe. But because of those Jews who that day did believe in John and that John had pointed to Jesus, they could not take him. Because had they taken him and killed him then, the scriptures would not have been fulfilled. Jesus can only be crucified on the day of Passover. And that will not happen until that coming Friday. So, okay, back to Mark chapter 12, and we're gonna look at the last section of scriptures, verses 13 through 17. Taxes and tithes, what belongs to God, what belongs to man. It says, then they sent to him some of the Pharisees and the Herodians to catch him in his words. And when they had come, they said to him, teacher, we know that you are true, and you care about no one, for you do not regard the person of men, but teach the way of God in truth. I mean, this sounds like they really like Jesus, doesn't it? How many of you know what flattery is? Have you ever had someone flatter you because they want to sell you something? Or they want to trick you with something? Or, oh, you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. Now, can you know, and then they want something. So they're kind of flattering Jesus with all of this. And then they come with their trap question. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Shall we pay or shall we not pay? And I want you to notice, go back to verse 13. Then they sent to him some of the Pharisees and the Herodians. Two groups of people came together. But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, why do you test me? Bring me a denarius that I may see it. And so they brought it. And he said to them, whose image and inscription is this? And they said to him, Caesar's. Jesus answered and said to them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Here you have the Pharisees, and then you have the Herodians. The Pharisees, religious people that are seeking the law of the Lord. The Herodians, who are kind of political. Herod was seen as the king of that era, but he had been given power and authority by Rome. He actually was from Edomea, which means he was Edomite. And so they couldn't stand each other. Many of the Jewish religious people, they looked at Herod as usurping a throne that belonged to David and the line in the family of David. They couldn't stand Herod or his entourage. And Herod didn't like them because they didn't respect him and acknowledge him as the king, and he had the power from Rome. So these guys could not stand each other, but now they both, for different reasons, did not like the power and the authority of Jesus of Nazareth. So these enemies became friends because of their common goal to come against Jesus Christ. And as they come, they ask, they're trapping him. They think they've got him dead to rights on this one. And they come to Jesus, should you pay taxes or not pay taxes? And one way or another, he's going to make, you know, half of the people angry. If he says, pay the taxes, all the religious Jews would say, how dare you? Oh, this is wrong. And if he says, don't pay the taxes, then Herod and his entourage will say, what? You don't respect Rome and its power, and I am a king, the king of the Jews? That's why Herod didn't like Jesus. Jesus said, he's the king of the Jews. Herod goes, no, you're not. I'm the king of the Jews. So they're fighting with one another. And then it is significant that Jesus must ask for a coin. Do you notice he asks, does anyone have a coin? What does that tell you? That Jesus didn't have any coins. And it's not just that he didn't have money. It's that he didn't have pagan money. He didn't have a coin that had the image of a man on it. Religious Jews wanted to keep away from that as much as possible. It's significant that Jesus is reluctant personally to carry or even acknowledge a pagan coin with a human image on it. But so Jesus has to ask for a coin. And they think the moment they give him the coin and he holds it up, they think they've got him. In fact, when that coin went into the hands of Jesus, Jesus had trapped them. And he goes, whose picture is on it? They said, Caesar's. He goes, wow. And I'm going to paraphrase what Jesus is saying. Okay, so here's money made by Caesar, and he, to show that he made it, he put his face on it, his image. So if he made it and he put his face on it to show that he owns it, then give it back to him. Give Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And with that, they were stunned. But then what really set Jesus apart is when he then added, and give to God the things that are God's. And what Jesus was communicating without having to say it, but we will now say it because it was obvious to everyone there, is that wherever God puts his image or his face because he made it, then you must give that back to God. He's talking about every little human face. So guess what that means, that you bear the image of God? You were made by God because he put his face on you. You reflect one facet, one character of him. So if he made you and he put his face in your face, then he shows that he owns you, and therefore you must give him where he put his image. And what is that? All of me. Everything I have and everything that I am. What do you have that did not come from God? Nothing. Everything that you have comes from God. So everything is his. Which you might go, well, he ain't getting much. But whatever it is that I am his. And I belong wholly and completely and totally to him.
Pastor Ray Bentley, with good encouragement on what it means to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and rendering unto God what is God's. Glad you've joined us today on Maranatha Radio. Today's study is titled Great Insights. If you missed any part, you can hear a replay on iTunes or at raybentley.com. That's raybentley.com. When you first arrive at our homepage, when you click Media, you'll see the words Watch, Radio, and Devo. Three ways to enjoy Pastor Ray's insights via video, audio recording, or daily devotions. In fact, at the very bottom of the page, you can link to Pastor Ray's Facebook page, his podcast, his YouTube channel, and Twitter feed. And you'll find Pastor Ray's latest books there, too. His new books, On the Mountain of the Lord, and his latest, The Threshing Floor, a prophetic fiction novel. And raybentley.com is always where you'll find the best deals on Pastor Ray's resources. You can also donate securely right there on our site. Your investments help bring the whole gospel to the whole world. Our mailing address is Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Mark. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.